A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, this is Paul Hawksby.
This is Perry Groves.
And, yeah, this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Strictly Dancer and former Southampton apprentice Kai Widdrington. We had a bit of a surprise moment for him as well. Perry used to play with Kai's dad, Tommy, so there's a bit of
a Kai wasn't born.
Before Kai was born, that's right. Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly came in. We talked a bit of racing, bit of golf, and as is often the case with those two, a little bit of banks between them.
They told us actually not to who not to bet on, yes, you know, rather than who to bet on.
Indeed. So we covered a bit of ground with them. We had a chat, of course. We looked ahead to all the football tonight and lots more besides. I think that should do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Perry.
Afternoon, Paul.
You're looking very excited. You're working tonight at the Emirates, aren't you? In the lounges there, looking after the punters.
Just on that, the wash bag footballer. Yeah. That doesn't mean horrible. You know, it's meant you're a wash bag footballer. No, it's to say you're dirty, horrible. It's completely opposite, isn't it? Well,
it comes from a line that was said by Chris Wilder, talking about players that he's fans of. And he was talking about Cole Palmer and Ollie Arbelast, just saying, what I love about them, he said, they're proper old school players who play for the love of playing. They're not toilet bag footballers. They don't play but are satisfied with the expensive clobber. They don't walk around like stars. Their first love is playing.
So what he's
saying
is,
maybe we should kick off there, then we'll come on to Arsenal in a second, because we're going to be talking a lot about tonight's games, both of which you'll hear on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. Did you have anybody like that? I mean, you were that era, you were telling me, was the start of the washbag football. It was your sort of era's fault.
Yeah,
it?
I think so, yeah, because I can remember when I was an apprentice at Colchester United, then it was what Chris Wilder was saying, the old carbolic soap. There were just like 3 bars of soap what were put in like the communal showers, and that was it, basically. Yeah. And you might have had there might be some head and shoulders. remember head and shoulders like knocking about somewhere. So like players didn't.
That was as glamorous as it got. Yeah. Was it head and shoulders?
And then they're supposed to be great for dandruff. I mean, well, what that means is it just takes all your hair out of your head. That's what it was. That strong, wasn't it? You think, oh, that's why.
Well, I think the recipe. Anybody from Head and Shoulders listening today, the recipe has changed. That isn't the case anymore. I'd like to point out before their legal department. Right. Perry is a bit sketchy around there. Although you have got no hair.
Oh, is that there? I'm not blaming Head and Shoulders.
We're not blaming Head. We'd like to point out we're not blaming the good people.
I just used to use Shoulders.
That's owned by a bloke called Alan Head and Steve Shoulders. Yeah, they started the business. They're never so well out, haven't they?
Not bad. Good. Branding, wasn't it?
So there was nobody who was a bit of a fancy Dan in your dressing room. I remember in the glory game when Bill Nicholson and Eddie Bailey, two old school managers, Tottenham in the 70s, when a hairdryer, when I think there was a lobby, possibly from the late great Joe Kinnear and Stevie Perryman and one or two others, the young boys in there wanted a hairdryer in the dressing room. And I think Eddie Bailey, the old coach, thought the game had gone at that point.
Yeah, I think the only hairdryer we had was George Graham. No one would be brave enough to bring a hairdryer in.
You used to get like a fantastic blow wave from him, did you?
Male grooming probably started with the wash bag. Mm. Someone might have a brush or a comb, which you'd borrow.
Not a communal one.
No, and
the Arsenal knit nurse would come in. Would
yeah,
she?
No, it was a communal, but it was a big brush. You'd actually
communal
borrow a brush.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then maybe a bit of Aramis flying around, or Kouros,
you know, nice,
a bit of and borrow someone else's aftershave.
So you'd all go out smelling the same, would you?
Yeah. I think it was a bit of give. The wash bag culture was a bit of a giveaway, because on a Tuesday, we'd always train at Highbury. And then we train, we do our laps, we take Sir George Graham. Oh, you're looking fantastic, Gaffer, because he'd be going up and down the terraces.
Yeah.
Like, he loved being in front. Oh, look, I can't believe you're that fit, Gaffer. You know, just to butter him up, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we do our running. And then you'd have a bit of the Gillette shaving foam and the Bic razors. Yeah. And you think, oh, I've cut you. Basically, you just cut your face to pieces, didn't you, with the Bic razors.
God, you're taking no prison. I'd like to point out the good people at Bic. That's the quality of the shaving, not the quality of
the product. Yeah, it was because we had clodhopper hands. That's what it was. But then we'd all be by them. There was like five or six sinks with mirrors where we're all shaving. And then the gaffer would come in and he'd go, I know where you're going. I know what you're doing. And we're like, we're not going out. Gaffer, going straight home. And all of us are shaving and got the Aramis and the Kuros ready to go out on the lash. Ziggy Jonsson was the Icelandic midfield player. He got a really bad back injury for us, but he was a brilliant midfield player, come from Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. And there's always a player that smelt fantastic coming in. You know, we didn't smell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you're coming into training, we didn't smell the best coming in. And when you're running and doing your warm-up, it was great to be beside Ziggy because he smelt fantastic.
Would you like to go on the pitch kind of smelling a bit evil? Did you like not brush your teeth before a game or didn't shower before the game? So if someone was sort of marking you, I mean, I suppose as a winger, that wasn't so much of a problem, was it?
No, that was...
But that happens a bit in boxing, you know, people like a bit...
No underarm, no deodorant?
No, going in very sweaty and smelly and reeking and not brushing your teeth.
I tell you who did used to smell magnificent playing against was Bobby Barnes.
Okay.
He smelled unbelievable. I think he was one of the first, you know, when all the hair
gels... That's why he's on the big bucks at the PFA.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what he was.
And he's got a good surgeon
Gordon
as well.
Taylor went, what's that lovely smell? It's Bobby
Barnes. Bobby Barnes, he'll do. He'll come in. Yeah, so he was the opposite.
Of course not, Bob.
He was the opposite of Pepe Le Pew. He was like on the other side of it because he always had a bit of hair product in, a little bit of hair gel, like coconut, which smelled fantastic.
Yeah.
About aftershave. So... Yeah, he was one of the players that he had a certain aroma.
Well, let's find out the wash bag. If you want to out the wash bag footballer at your club, Chris Wilder loves the old school player that's not in it. If you've got one at your place on a Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, feel free to share the stories and why. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ. Very quickly, intimidating the opposition is something we're going to talk about today because it looks like UEFA have agreed to let Real Madrid have the roof on for tonight's game to kind of improve the atmosphere in the Bernabeu. And also they've asked all the fans to turn up in white shirts, so it looks like a complete sea of white in the stadium when they play City. I don't know if it's going to bother City that much. But, I mean, you were telling me earlier on, obviously, the go-to, I think we're going to be speaking to Terry Gibson very soon, the go-to was that sort of Wimbledon crazy gang era where they
Plough Lane.
How they would intimidate you there.
That gives me shivers now as it happens, because if we were playing Wimbledon on the Saturday, we'd all have tetanus injections on the Monday because you walked into their away team dressing room, you'd get a disease. It was like cow dung and horse manure in the drains. So you open the door.
Vinny was bringing that in from the farm probably, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly, And then it, like it stinked high, having there'd be flies and maggots everywhere when you went in there.
Oh, no.
So in the summer or in, you know, when you're coming in the sort of like April, May time, they turn the heating up.
Mm.
When you go in, then the winter, obviously, they turn it off. So it was like freezing, like
cold showers as well.
Yeah, like walking fridge, basically.
Yeah.
Then they had a big ghetto blaster as well in their own. So it was like heavy gangster rap, like bass music, like, you know, bass music. So it was like he was going into the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was. They used to, like, that's.
Wow.
But that actually, I must admit, that actually inspired us because we saw it as a bit of lack of respect. We're like, oh, come on, we're not flaky.
Yeah.
So we used to batter them at Plough Lane.
Yeah, I suppose it would have backfired now and again. So that was the other thing we were interested in. Real Madrid are trying to intimidate a bit tonight. So if we were looking at your tales of trying to intimidate the opposition in any sport and possibly failing, ideally, make for a better story.
Do they honestly think that they're going to intimidate players like, you know, everybody in white?
Yeah.
You know, and putting their... Because Pep Guardiola, you think, oh, that's Andy. The conditions would be perfect. Mm. So Man City love playing through the lines and playing great football. Erling Haaland will have that impish boy grin on his face. He'll go, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
So all the top players, like Kevin De Bruyne, like Phil Foden, they'll love it. That's when what you play your football for, to play in arenas like that. I just wonder where the Man City fans... Are they going to put them on the roof or something by the floodlights? Is that what we're going to be?
Yeah, I mean, now they've refurbed the whole place. I would imagine...
They're going to be up in the far corner somewhere.
It used to be... I mean, I've known at the new camp before, you get tucked right up in the corner and barely see the pitch. I'm sure they won't be giving them the prime
seats. It's not going to intimidate, trust me.
I wouldn't
think
so.
It's not going to intimidate Man City.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Perry Groves here on TalkSport. As we were saying, we're joined in the studio now by a former Southampton apprentice, and personally wasn't even born when Perry
Thanks for that.
Played with his dad, Tommy, at Southampton, Kai Widdrington. Hi, Kai, how are you?
I'm good,
Kai.
Lads, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we were just working that all out. I think by the time Perry had just packed up by when you were a babe in arms in the stands watching your dad score his first goal.
Yes. Yeah, I was only a baby. I don't remember any of it, but he apparently he did a rocking the arms baby celebration when he scored against Chelsea or something like that, apparently.
So is he painting it then? So is that what it was? Everybody else copies it now, don't they? It's either the baby or the heart, isn't it?
I think that's it. I bet they probably got there.
That's it.
But we're going to come on to the football a bit later on. But you're on tour. You and Nadia are on tour, aren't you? Touring around the country. So tell us more about that.
We are, yeah. We went on tour for the first time last year. Around the UK, it was a lot of fun. It's like a kind of a dream, really, as a kid. You know, when I decided to do dancing instead of football, it was like, right, I need to just commit to this. And, you know, watching Strictly as like a seven-year-old when it first came on the telly, it was like, wow, I could be one of these pros one day. Lo and behold, 20 years later, I'm actually one of the professionals. And because of the platform it gives me is, you know, I'm able to do something like this where I can tour around the country with my other half. And, you know, this year we're touring for a month in June. We're out in the 1st of June until the 30th. Starting where my dad was born in Gateshead. Well, he wasn't born in Gateshead, but in Newcastle.
Sure.
But I think they're up there now, actually.
Yeah, they're playing Gateshead tonight, aren't they? Yeah.
And we're finishing in the Mayflower in Southampton for our last show. But it's going to be a lot of, you know, very much interaction with the audience. It's called Behind the Magic. So we want to give people a bit of behind the scenes into what it's like in our world, really. And really.
So it's not just us. You chat to the audience as well?
Absolutely not. It's not just a dance show. Okay. You know, there's bits and bobs. I might dabble a little bit with a guitar. I used to play guitar as a kid. And my other half may or may not sing. Oh. So there's a few bits and bobs in there. But we want to entertain the audience. And I always say, like, if we can make the audience laugh and cry in the space of 2 hours, then we've kind of done our job right.
So obviously you have a half Nadia to do it right.
Yes.
So do you critique each other? Or, you know, if you've, like, made a mistake or you go, what's happening there?
Well, we have, we're perfect. Well, you know, everyone says this, right? We're perfectionists, right? But we have our... a mediator in inverted commas is in our director and choreographer Scott, who's kind of, it's very much a collaborative three-way process. And, you know, we love choreographing, we love creating, and I always kind of use the term of, like, you can order a takeaway and it'll taste really good, but it'll never really taste as good as if you've made it yourself and you've put your kind of flavor on it. And that's kind of what it is, because we could have just gone, we want a show, can you create us a show and we'll headline it and do it. But we're very much into the creative process of it, and I really enjoy that, and I know Nadia does too. And, you know, for us, that's what we get a real kick out of, and when we come to the end of it, it's like, wow, we did that. So
you talk about creating, it's interesting, because you go back to, I mean, I'm gonna imagine when you first start there are specific things that you have to do. It goes back to, you know, Strictly Ballroom and the Pan Pacifics, and you can't dance those steps, Scott, and all this
Pan
sort of
Pacifics.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. So but I imagine at that stage, but you don't have the flexibility, do you, really, to be that creative when you first start off? Because there are certain disciplines you have to have within ballroom dancing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the business I'm in now is very unique, and it's that, you know, we're teaching celebrities and we're not dancing necessarily at our max on Strictly all the time. You know, we're trying to get our celebrities to their best possible level, and we're not going to just stand there and outdance them and be the best dancers we can, you know. But in this case, where we're on tour, we get to show off ourselves and, you know, be that, almost that Strictly Ballroom couple, and go, like, this is what we can do. This is how good we are. You know, my other half, Nadia, she's a 5-time world ballroom and Latin champion. So she's pretty good.
Yeah. It's funny. Perry was saying earlier on that his son did a very similar thing to you. His son was playing football and was rated.
Yeah, because you Southampton, weren't you? Left back until you was 12. So I was just interested in, one, how was your dad the, like, on the touchline, giving his opinion, or when you're in the car journey for young kids? That's is the worst. One. It's the worst thing ever. Because it's like, how do you think you played? Right, isn't it? My dad used to say to me, come on then, give yourself a mark. And I go, about 7. And I go, what, out of 20? But is that you get? But then, how was the conversation? Obviously, you said you watched Strictly on the TV, and that inspired you. Just saying to your dad, was there a conversation? Say, look, dad, mate, I don't want to be a footballer anymore. I want to be a dancer. Because my boy was 14 and he got offered a 4-year contract at Colchester in their academy. Yeah. So guaranteed up to your YTS and then guaranteed YTS. Uh-huh. And he went, be fair, dad, don't fancy it. I want to go and play rugby.
Wow.
So I just went, all right, because a lot of parents would head would blow off, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh no! And the coaches now say to me, "Your boy, he's the one that got away. You should have made him play." I'm like, no, I can't make him play football. No. He's got to have the same desire. No.
That was the best thing that happened to me, really. And, you know, because I always use the analogy of the Billy Elliot dad. I mean, my dad's from the Northeast, right?
Yeah.
And I'm telling my dad at 12 years old, I got a contract offer from Southampton to be a left back, and I'm a right-footed left back, so I could play with both feet. So I was half decent, right? Yeah. And I was quite quick. And I turned it down to dance with the British champion. And bearing in mind at this time, I wasn't very good, but apparently she fancied me, right?
Right. Oh.
And so I was like, yeah, go on then. And the thing is, I just, the tipping point for me was Sunday football as a kid is on Sundays, obviously, and competitions are on a Sunday. And I had to choose, basically. And it was just like, I just loved dancing that little bit more. And the conversation I had with my old man was like, listen, Dad, I just love dancing that little bit more. And he was... to be fair to him, I was never worried to tell him. That was how I knew it was going to be okay. And then, you know, him during the week after he'd be training with Salisbury or wherever he was, he'd be driving me 2 hours to have an hour's lesson and then drive me back. Like, he was the most supportive dad. So it was and wasn't a Billy Elliot dad moment. So, you know,
he's brilliant as well, though, is the great thing is your dad knows nothing about dancing, right?
Well, no. He claims he does.
No, but the thing is...
You don't have those awkward chats in the car. I just think you dance tonight. Seven? Seven?
I think you actually like put a foot out of a place.
He doesn't critique the dancing.
Yeah, I couldn't critique my son playing rugby. I love rugby, but I didn't know the nuances and all the tactical stuff and technical stuff.
Yeah.
So it was refreshing for my two boys. That they weren't going to get the critical dad. Do you know what I mean? So it must be same as you as well.
It is that, but at the same time, he'll go to me because, you know, I get this a lot from blokes, right? If I'm, you know, out and about or whatever, and there's a bloke comes to me, oh, do you mind if I just get a photo? My wife loves you, da 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 da.
Yeah.
If I had a pound for every time a bloke has said that to me, you know. But secretly, they watch it as well, right? They'd sit on the couch with their family and
Absolutely.
Watch it.
Absolutely.
Everyone's guilty, right? So my dad now, and amongst my other family as well, and Nicky Beale, who's going to die that I've shouted him out, he's a mad West Ham fan, apologies. And you know, he would never have watched Strictly in his life, but because I'm on it, he's like, oh, Kai, like you this week, like I think you got absolutely stiff with the scores, and you're like, what are they doing? Like they're critiquing this one, and this one's getting tense, it's an absolute joke. Like, it's just so funny how everyone is so like into it, but you know, I love it. I love it.
Can you stick around for another 5 minutes or so? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
With us in the studio at the moment, Kai Widdrington of Strictly fame, a man who was an apprentice at Southampton as a kid. His partner Nadia and himself are out on tour. You can go and see them. They kick off in Gateshead on June the 1st. And I say it's quite an extensive tour. You got a London date on the 23rd, as you said, ending up on the 30th of June. You don't get a lot of nights off, Kai, do you, to recover?
Not a lot of nights.
There's a few ice baths thrown in there.
Yeah, I think there will be, won't there?
Every night, yeah. Just a few, yeah. It's very, very, very busy tour. But, yeah.
What's more tiring, dancing or football?
It's so different, you know. I always say this to my brother as well, who plays professionally as well for my dad's team, Aldershot. But it's like, I couldn't do what he does and he couldn't do what I do. If he had the talent of dancing, he still wouldn't be able to do it physically because it's so different. Mm. And because he runs, I just don't run as much as he does, so it's just such a different discipline. So, you know, we respectfully say on separate sides.
Well, as you said, you're kicking off in Gateshead, and you said earlier on your dad's on his way to Gateshead, and also that your dad Tommy, who's the manager of Aldershot Town, your brother's playing there now, is a former teammate of Perry's, and Perry's got some great tales of playing with Tommy back in the day, haven't you? Because, we thought we would share a few old war stories now. We got your dad on the line, on the coach.
No way.
Yeah. Hiya, Tommy.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Tommy, how's it going?
Not so bad, yeah. Perry's been telling us some stuff off air. I think we can say most of it on air. All in front of your son.
I suggest you probably keep most of it off air.
Tommy, can you remember... when we were playing in the Reses, you were just breaking into the first team and used to play on a Tuesday and in the old combination. And it was yourself, Neil Madison, was it? Nicky Banger, David Hughes, Neil Heaney. And I would say to you, if we go out and we win and perform how we should do, then we can go out on the lash, basically. To like what goes in the Concord Club stays on the Concord Club, by the way, Tommy. But that was on the pitch and off the pitch.
Now you were spot on, mate. I think the way we were brought into the professional game back then, has a lot to be said for. I think today a lot of the lads who got through, and there isn't many, as many as our days, I think they're brought up in a very different culture, a very different society in general, not one I'm particularly enamoured with, if I'm honest with you, because I think the characters of a lot of the youngsters these days aren't anywhere close to what was required back then. It makes me laugh when people say, could the people of yesteryear play today? I'd ask the question, could the people of today play yesteryear? I'd be surprised if some of them could.
Yeah. It was funny. Perry was saying to us earlier on to me that he brought the Tuesday club, the infamous Tuesday football club at Arsenal, to Southampton. So it was kind of your fault. You're the one who got them into a bit of a drinking club, setting Tommy and other young lads astray.
Well, the thing is, there was myself, Kerry Dixon and Dave Speedy. We were staying at the Hilton Hotel.
What could possibly go wrong?
Just up. And so we had, basically, it was a free bar. So yeah. that was the only place you can go and get like late drinks. Do you know what I mean? So if we'd won, before mentioned crew that I mentioned there, we'd say to them, OK, come on then, let's go up to the Hilton and we'll carry on the night's proceedings. It's only if we won, though, Tommy. Yeah. Only if we won.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Yeah, you had to reward yourself.
Was he a good or a bad influence, looking back, Tommy Perry, when he came in?
No, listen, we had to respect where he'd been and what he'd done. He was unfortunate when he came to Southampton because he got a really, really bad injury.
Yeah.
And I believe he did it again without getting back fully. So it's good for him as an individual and as a professional, but as a lad and as a pro around us younger lads, we're joking here because he was very, very good in a lot of ways. He gives us a lot of good habits, as much as give us that one or two bad.
Do you know what it was? I must admit, because I used to hate when I was playing in the reserves at Colts United and playing Arsenal, when the first team players played in reserves and they didn't try. Do you know what I mean? And they didn't give everything they had. That used to do my head in, because I think you have a duty as a senior player to help the younger players when you're on the pitch. Not just off it, we say, the extracurricular activities, but on the pitch.
Yeah.
I think that it's a senior player's job. And Tom, you probably have that in the clubs you've been at with, like at Kings Lynn and obviously Aldershot now, where the senior players are the one that they set the culture as well, just other than the coach.
Absolutely. I mean, I hardly go into the dressing room on training days. I'm very rarely in there. I think it needs to be self-governed. You want one or two lads with a bit of character, a bit of history. And you've got to know for the right reasons. And also, they need to be able to bend the line now and again. And I just think, you're talking about reserve football, it's a massive miss for me. The gap between development football, don't get me wrong, your superstars like your Phil Fordens and your Sackers and these guys who've come through at very, very high clubs. Dealing, but the vast majority of these young lads who have this development football for so long, there should be another vehicle. There should be something like a reserve league. I played in reserve teams with somebody like Kerry Groves, Jimmy Cake, Sammy Lee, Russell Osman. I mean, these guys were England internationals, but if they didn't play in the first team for whatever reason or another, they played on a Saturday with the reserves.
Yeah. Tommy, Kai was just telling us about taking us back to that moment when he made the call that he wanted to dance and didn't want to play football. But you, he's saying you were a very supportive dad.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that. I mean, at the end of the day, all you ever want to do is you want your kids to be happy. Perry's the same, you know. It's not quite how he put it to us. It was more like, Dad, I like being the main man. I like getting dressed up. I like being on the stage more than
I want to be centre of attention.
Is that right, Kai? Is it all coming back to you
now?
Hey,
listen, I love me a Cuban heel. What can I say?
Tight trousers,
if Nike had brought out Cuban heels, boots, he could have stayed.
Yeah, but Tommy, Kai said he was a fullback, like a left-back, right-footed. Back in the old days, the fullbacks weren't really star. Now, fullbacks are the main.
You'd be inverting like mad, wouldn't you?
They're the superstars. Hey, listen, do you know what? The chance is so slim. You know, you heard him now, like how small the chances of becoming a professional player is nowadays. But, you know, I chose what I wanted to do, and I'm happy. Listen, if I'd have made it as a football player, I probably wouldn't have been as happy as I am now.
No, you must be incredibly proud, Tommy, to watch him on TV every week and see him on tour and doing what he does.
Well, usually I'm end up watching him in a car, or I'm on a bus somewhere watching it. Last couple of years, but yeah, obviously I'm immensely proud of him and the other children I've had. His younger brothers. Plays football, my daughter, who's going away through university at the moment. So yeah, I'm immensely proud of them all. But Kai, it's difficult walking through London these days with it because you've got coppers stopping them for autographs and old ladies, his dog and things like that. It's a little bit weird. But yeah, I'm, haven't really played, obviously.
Do you Tommy, get, sorry, do they give you, when they want photographs, yeah. whatever, do they give you the phone?
That's yes, it.
They would you mind, yeah, go, would you mind taking... Tommy, I'll just favour, take a picture of me
and Kyle.
Would you
mind taking the picture, mate?
Yeah. And he's going, do you know I played 100 games in the Premier League?
Well, good luck tonight, Tommy. Really appreciate you joining us. Safe journey up. It's going pretty well, isn't it, at Aldershot currently?
Yeah, we're doing all right. I mean, listen, we didn't set ourselves any real targets other than make sure we weren't looking over our shoulder come this time of the year, because it's been a bit of a perennial habit of the club. And we had a really good FA Cup run. So I think the fans in general will be really pleased with what's happened this season. But like I say, I never set targets. I just want to always break through whatever's in front of us. And Gate said they were flying and have just qualified themselves for the FA Trophy final at the weekend. Hopefully they're still partying up there and we're coming to have a game tonight.
Fantastic. Enjoy the game. All the best, Tommy.
Top man, Tommy.
See you, Dad.
Do you want to just come back to me, like when you said about your fitness, right? Because obviously doing dancing is a different, but you need stamina. You need to have a core fitness. Mm-hmm. Your dad, as a midfield player, that he could pass, don't get me wrong, but he had that core fitness. He was a runner, wasn't he?
Yeah,
so you've obviously got that genetically in you.
I think so. And I remember when we were on holiday, he would always run on the beach and like it would just constantly.
He'd run into the bar.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was running with him. Yeah. But there's a little Easter egg in my family on my mother's side, and my mum's dad, my granddad on my mum's side, is Chinese. He's from Hong Kong, and he actually went to school and was in the same class as Bruce Lee as a kid.
Wow.
So that was that's a little, and I was like, no way. There's no way that's true. He used to give me the video as a kid. He was like, yeah, I went to school with him. I was like, no, you didn't. He showed me a photo. So, and my granddad was very much a fitness guy, never drank, never smoked, never did anything. And he used to train me in the gym as a 14-year-old little skinny long distance runner / footballer dancer. Yeah. A lot of the fitness side comes from that side, as well as obviously the sporting side of dad as well.
I'm guessing the pool of talent now, because of Strictly, and you said what a influence it was on you, and how you wanted to be one of those dancers when you watched it. I guess the pool of talent has grown because so more kids take up dancing. And so, you know, I imagine you guys are being pushed all the time, all the pros.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I'm 30 next year, which is mental to think, really. Yeah. But, you know, I joined when I was 27. And listen, there's fantastic dancers out there. But, you know, if we could use Strictly as a vehicle to get kids dancing.
Yeah.
You know, my ultimate goal one day would be to get ballroom dancing back into the school curriculum. I know it was in the old days, everyone danced as kids, right? But I just think it would be fantastic for kids to have the option to learn to dance for free. And then if they want to get better, they could go to their local dance school, and then it would be good for the local dance schools as well. But, you know, to answer your question, there's loads of amazing dancers, especially coming out of this country. And, you know, the goal is to make that even more in the grassroots level, to get more kids dancing.
So you become the hunted.
Yeah,
you was the hunter when you're young, and you're younger, doing all your ballroom and and do your competitions.
Yeah,
so you're aspiring to. You see older dancers, you think, right, I'm after. I want to be you.
Yep.
You're that. You're now. You're the one who's being hunted by the younger dancers.
I guess so. But if that helps kids improve and helps kids with their motivation and wants them, you know, get some dancing every day. I mean, I remember dancing every day for 4 hours after school, every single day. Like, I had no social life at all. I missed my prom. I had to go to a competition. Like, I had no social life. But you put the hours in, you work hard, and you know yourself for football.
Desire.
It's the same thing. It's desire.
Yeah. Desire.
And it was just complete focus. And it was that was what drove me as a kid. And, you know, you're very lucky to have supportive parents that can help me and, you know, finance it in the way that it is. Because dancing is also not cheap if you want to get to the elite level.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, like you say, desire, passion, hard work, dedication, all those cliche things that everyone says now. Mm. But it is so true. It really is.
And finally, and briefly, golf is another great love. And you and your brother are talking about starting a little golf YouTube channel.
Yes, we do. We're starting a YouTube channel. We've come up with a temporary name so far. We don't know if it's going to stay, but we like the term WID Golf. It kind of has a play on Golf. Live Golf, WID Golf. They're controversial. We toyed with On the Dance Floor. If you know your golf lingo, if you know, you know. But it kind of has a bit of a tie in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we love golf. It's our meditation. You know, people go out, people do cycling marathons and stuff. We do golf. We love playing golf. And I'm on the way down handicap-wise, and I've been in touch with Justin Rose over the last couple of weeks as well, because he's actually an Aldershot Town fan, would you believe?
Yeah, oh, yes.
And obviously he's playing in the Masters this week, so we wish him the best. But hopefully we're going to get him on and a few other celebrities from, like, SAS and, you know, maybe Strictly and stuff. So if you'd like to come on the channel, you're more than welcome.
Perry, what's your golf like?
It's all right. I'm probably off about 20 at the minute. I got down to 14, Andy. What's your handicap?
12, but
that means you're a 10 then, because everybody cheats at golf. Yeah, everybody cheats.
No, I'm not. I'm probably actually a 14, really. But Dad's around 18, so you and Dad versus
maybe me. You should have a bit of a Southampton, that sort of Tommy and Perry era.
Can we just not do it in Southampton?
Can we do it somewhere else?
Yeah,
we'll come towards
Portsmouth.
Surrey.
That's a nice course in Portsmouth.
Actually, I'll be welcome more at Portsmouth than Southampton.
Well, good to see you, Kai. Thanks very much for coming in. Nadia and Kai behind the magic. They are on tour, brand new show for 2024, kicking off in Gateshead on the 1st of June and ending in Southampton on the 30th. Tickets, I take it, are available now?
Yes, on nadiaandkai.com.
Okay, and ticketmaster.co.uk, or else you can pick up tickets. Yeah, lovely to see you. And hope you enjoy the little chat with your dad.
I will.
A surprise for you.
I'll ring him after.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Dream team, Rupert Bell and former jump jockey Lizzie Kelly. And they've popped in to see us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We were just talking about your Strictly credentials. Lizzie, you do like a nice outfit. We see you at racing. So I imagine you'd like all the glitz and the clothes, but you're not sure you're going to be... If they shouldn't issue a come-and-get-me plea, the Strictly people, to you.
No, I'd save it probably for after I had my second baby and really use it as a weight loss boot camp. That's when I'd probably be at my most interested.
Yeah. Rupert seems a bit more interested in doing it. He was telling us about... He said you should see my rumba.
That just sounds like, as you know, a bit of a euphemism. But anyway, I've never watched a single episode of Strictly.
Really?
Never. So yeah. I it's passed me by.
I mean, that takes some doing. It's been
Latin into your life, Rupert. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen an episode of Coronation Street.
Wow, really?
No, I don't think I have, actually. No. Or Emmerdale.
Sorry. Why don't you start binge-watching Coronation Street from Ken Barlow?
Honestly, just go back to show one. It won't be all right. Not more than about 4 years.
Ken Barlow's still in it.
Yeah. And they don't go out, eat, or go to the toilet.
I'm sorry, dedicated Street fans, but I haven't.
Vinnie Caldwell, Ina Sharples, Eddie Yates, the Oggies. You've got a real treat in store once you get stuck into it.
Fred Elliott?
Yeah, I say Fred Elliott.
I say hold on there, Ashley.
Yes. Anyway, let's move on to the racing. So, Lizzie, what can we expect from... Well, that's maybe we should kick off with the National, because we don't quite know yet all the runners do because they're still sort of honing it down.
That's right, yeah. So at the moment, you kind of have your sort of, you think you know who's going to be in it, and there's little news bulletins coming out of horses that, you know, may not run, like Conflated, for example. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference because a horse that's quite fancied called Kitty's Light would get in if Conflated came out. But yeah, it's still a little bit up in the air. I think the talking point for the week will probably be the Trainers' Championship. At the moment, Dan Skelton is leading the Trainers' Championship by about £30,000, which is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. And Paul Nichols, his former boss, is second. And then Willie Mullins, obviously Irish-based, he's sitting in third. So if he were to win... you know, say the Grand National, for example, you know, he's pretty much home and hosed at winning the British Trainers' Championship, which as a Irish-based trainer would be an amazing achievement. But Dan Skelton and Paul Nichols have both got very good teams that they're sending to that meeting. So, yeah, it should be that'll be the kind of talking point, because obviously it's a bit embarrassing if Willie Mullins manages to win the British.
Well, he's got eight horses, isn't it, in the Grand National? Yeah. And is it Gordon Elliott's got nine?
Yeah.
And there's only 34.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can only muster seven, potentially.
That's right.
So that just shows you, you know, combined, they are so powerful. And Willie Mullins would get £500,000 to his, on his prize money won. So it would give him a huge chance. And it probably would just confirm what everybody knows. You know, he's got all the best horses, and when he comes over, he's winning all the big prizes. So it's done on prize money.
What about Harry Redknapp? Shake him up, Harry? Is he in the ballot, or is he on the waiting list or something?
Well, he's had an interesting day yesterday, didn't he?
He
one
did.
Of his horses.
We're going to come on to that a minute. But first, Lucinda Russell, Corrick Rambler, obviously looking for back-to-back wins. And she's been, I think I saw her say last week, it needs to stop raining if he's going to have a chance. And, well, it hasn't generally, so we'll talk about the going. But she was also saying the horse has become a diva, Lizzie. You work with horses all the time, train. And she said he's a bit odd. He loves blonde ladies. Whenever he sees a blonde lady, he pricks up his ears, apparently. If he hears a photograph being taken, he'll turn around and look at the camera. He said, yeah, he's become a real diva. It's embarrassing.
I mean, that is very funny. Yeah, horses have a habit of knowing when they're the centre of attention. They definitely know when they've won races, and they can be really sort of chuffed with themselves for a
little
few
trot
days.
Like a show jumping horse. They're doing dressage.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Normally, horses will have a day off after they've run in a race, and you always see photos and videos of horses who've won big races getting turned out into the field for their little day off, and they're careering around,
like
telling everybody
about it.
When
she's walking around Aintree, you know. Take a photograph in her spangling outfit that she's going to be wearing.
It breaks into a little canter, is all it?
Yeah, I'm sort of in awe of where...
Like slipstream.
Yeah. Would
your money be on Corrick Rambler then, or not?
No, too short.
Right.
But trying to win back-to-back, not many. Obviously, Tiger Roll did it. Red Rum did it. It doesn't happen very often. But he is a good horse. Just a question of how much that Gold Cup may or may not have taken out him. But it goes with a genuine favourites chance. But I will be looking elsewhere. But don't ask me yet.
Would it make any difference to the earlier start time? Because they said they're trying to get it firmer, isn't it? Instead of 5:15, it's 4:00.
They dry out less, I think, but it's still going to be a wet Grand National. Yeah. It's been sluicing it down, I think, in Aintree area. It's still going to be wet. The 4:00 start time, I see what they're trying to do. And also, 5:30, when you've had the gates open since maybe 11:30, with all, you know, people have got quite loud by then.
Yeah, I think also, you know, it's a bit long build up for all the connections as well, isn't it? You know, the jockeys and the trainers, and it's not very normal to have the main race of the day like that late.
What time, when you rode in it? What time is your start time?
I can't remember. 5:15, I thought it always was, wasn't it?
And then, how many nationals did you ride in?
Just the one.
Right.
I had a great time. Rode T42, who, you know, sort of propped up my career for the entirety of it.
Here we go again. Great one, winning jockey.
We got round. I pulled up before the last because I didn't see much point in falling at the last, and we weren't going to be in the first 10. So, but I said hello to him this morning, gave him his breakfast.
Oh, no, that's nice.
Yeah, he lives with me at home.
Still living He's still with us and he's still happy.
Yeah, that's right.
I've just got a picture in my head of the horse in your front room. Like, yeah, we're in just pajamas sort of sitting
there. Right, that's right. Cornflakes.
Watching Netflix. What are we going to watch on there?
Putting the racing on there. It must be on the racing.
Perry, you haven't. Have you seen where she lives?
That's why.
It's basically, she does live at the stables, don't you?
Yeah.
And she looks, Tiffy too, Prattley does look through into the living room.
Yeah, I can wave him good morning and good night. Yeah.
Does he ever sort of stick his head through the window when you're in the kitchen?
Yeah, where he had an injury and he was turned out in our garden, and he would just sort of plod around and look through the French doors. Like, oh, hello there.
Does he give you a no look and say, "Oh, you owe me your career"? That's me.
I'm reminded constantly of that. Yeah,
Hugo, her son doesn't get any love. Tifa too gets all the love. Poor old Hugo, you know.
Gets and a bag Ed of has hay and he sits in the corner. Give him an apple. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. And Leon Stourbridge has been in touch. He said, "Paul, could you clear this up? We love Gabs at the Villa. He's one of us. But did you say earlier on that he's passed his coaching badges? Because to be honest, I've seen him struggle with a self-order screen in Sully old KFC. Please clear up the confusion." Well, look, we'll get a message through to Gab and find out if this is true.
Those screens, it's difficult when you're on
they
the dessert.
They can be confusing.
Very difficult. They can be. Little sides and dessert. You know,
that's
you
right.
Think, oh, well,
the
colonel
is a confusing man. Anyway, we'll find out for you. Lee. Yes, Rupert and Lizzie are with us. We've got racing from Aintree later on in the week. Lizzie, can you click? This is a little story I read today. Paddy Brennan, it says here, has been hit with a whopping 18-day ban for what they call schooling in public. The veteran jockey was hauled in front of Wyn Canton stewards after finishing second on Northern Air, who is part-owned by Harry Redknapp. He restrained the 5-1 shot miles off the pace of the maiden hurdle, and she made rapid headway in the straight under very tender handling behind the odds-on winner Navajo Indy. The ride sparked outrage amongst punters on social media, and stewards were not impressed with the lacklustre effort in the saddle. Brennan claimed he was trying to get Northern Air to finish off her race after a poor run last time, but officials weren't having any of it. They slapped him with a massive suspension and fined trainer Fergal O'Brien £4,000, say the Sun, while the horse is banned from running for 40 days. So schooling in public is a new term for me. What is it? Is this a common thing? Does it happen very often?
Okay, so schooling is the term used for basically asking horses to practice jumping.
Right.
And it's something that you would normally associate with what happens at home. So having schooling facilities means you just have hurdles and fences for the horses to practice over at home. Schooling in public is the term that is put on when a horse is essentially just practicing during a race,
right,
as opposed to actually competing during a race. So that is what that particular term, schooling in public, would be referring to. It's saying that the jockey hasn't actually put the horse in the race to be competitive and is kind of just having a practice on a race course.
Is it quite rare?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you don't have a huge amount of those kind of cases in racing on a sort of annual basis. But you know, it's basically accusing people of cheating.
Not
really.
Trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like not putting on a long rein, basically. So
yeah.
Maybe the horse was, you know, tooting on the red zone. You never know, do you?
Just they said he had a Paddy Brennan, who is vastly experienced and only rides now for Fergal O'Brien, had a bit of a respiratory problem.
Mm.
But one of the things that you can always be looking at is to try and get a favourable handicap mark in future. So clearly it doesn't look good. Mm. And the stewards have come down quite heavily. They've given the sort of maximum end of sort of terms of fines to both Paddy and Fergal O'Brien. And then 40 days, well, that basically means it's the end of the season. They can't now think about going out. Presumably won't see this horse now until when the season really gets back in earnest. But after Harry's golden run recently with all those successes at Cheltenham, a little bit coming down to earth with that performance. But I would be keeping an eye on that horse in future anyway.
Okay.
What the odds are you sort of...
Beautifully done. Good people at Paddy Power were talking to us last week, and their little tip for the National was Panda Boy. Lizzie, they were quite keen on Panda Boy.
Oh, well, you're quite keen on Panda Boy, aren't you? Why do you tell us all about
that,
him?
That's because Paddy Power.
Yeah, 12 to 14 to 1 around those sorts
trained,
of odds.
I think it's trained by Martin Brazel. I think it's got a good weight down at the bottom of the weights. And I, you know, in the heavy ground, I think that would be one reason. I'm thinking about seat of my pants here.
Yeah.
Lizzie's looking at me going, you haven't done your research, you're winging this answer.
What about you, Lizzie? What do you think?
I quite like, there are a few I quite like, which sort of, you know, is the Grand
Where's
National.
The value? Because people like a bit of value in the National.
Well, I don't really know. I don't think the favourite's much value, if I'm perfectly honest. I think he almost ran too good a race in the Gold Cup, finishing third. For me, I like Marla Mission. He was pretty unlucky to get beaten in what was the Hennessy at Newbury. That was the last time that we saw him. He is the Ladbrokes Gold Trophy or something now, but that was a really good performance. He's got a nice profile going into this. Kitty's Light would be another one of my, you know, fancies. I think very much a staying chaser, and
you're in Scottish National Kitty's Light,
and a couple of other staying chasers as well. And it's going to be pretty heavy going, I'd say. So that would bring Nassalam into it.
Can I, the best story, both of us have had the chance to go to Tom Ellis's yard, Late Night Pass, who is no back number at 11 years of age. Tom Ellis took out his trainer's licence specifically so he could run this horse under his name. He's like the Willie Mullins of the point-to-point world.
Yeah.
But he's got this horse that's ridden now by his wife, Gina Andrews, and is owned by his mum, and we both went to see... And I think it's not without an each-way chance.
33-1, I think, currently.
This horse has won over those fences before in the Fox Hunters, the amateur version. I mean, it's the story of the race. You know, with Grand National, you always think as a fairy tale winner, isn't it? You always imagine that they'll have a lovely backstory, and this horse has got it. Now, whether you back that horse because of its backstory is down to you. But, it would be fantastic because... Gina's an amateur, but she's a champion. There's multiple champion point-to-point rider. She's broken records with the amount of winners that she's ridden. It's going to be her husband's first runner as a professional trainer, having gone from point-to-pointing up to the professional ranks. And, you know, it just would be an amazing story.
Late Night Pass thing. Yeah.
I think that's the sentimental story. Yeah. There is a backstory to Kitty's Light as well, because Christian Williams' daughter's been battling cancer. So there's a lot of emotion riding on that one as well. So there will be stories that will emerge usual from this year's National.
Just very quickly, Rupert, we've got the Masters. I'm sure you'll be getting stuck into the final day, but you're going to be on racing duty for much of it. What's your fancy there?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
Won it a couple of years back. Found some form again, and I think is in good enough form to maybe be right in the mix come Sunday afternoon. And I like Sahith Thagala, who had a really good debut Masters last year, and I think they're decent price. Scotty Scheffler is a bit like Corrick Rambler in the Grand National, maybe a little too short, but he is clearly the best player in the world at the moment. But winning just at that price doesn't interest
me. I was going to say, Nick Faldo made some comments about he thinks some of the LIV guys could be a little bit undercooked. He just sort of feels they're not playing in a kind of competitive format to the same extent.
Interesting that John Rahm is saying, I'm missing playing 72 holes.
Yeah.
So when you, because he's, so he may be feeling a little undercooked, because 54 holes, mentally, you're sort of on a different sort of curve. So you're used to now after three rounds, that's it, pack up, go home. Now you've got to go again, and actually you've got to go again when it really matters, which is on the final day of a 72-hole event. So it'll be very interesting. But then Phil Mickelson last year, age 51, still managed to finish runner-up. So it will be, there are 13 LIV golfers in it, and they're all out to make a point or two, without question.
Yeah. You mentioned about the golfers have to have stamina for the 72 holes mentally and physically, because that's obviously where, on the last round, where you actually end up winning tournaments. People don't realise the stamina that the caddies have to have and the injuries they sometimes carry. People think it's just carrying a bag around, isn't it, and giving the golfer the clubs, you know, whether it's a 5-iron or like a driving wood. But there's been an injury for one of the caddies, serious injury for one of the caddies.
It all happens, caddy fell over.
We're not fully aware of the reasons, but he fell over while in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I think we'll leave it at that.
Tyrrell says, my caddy fell over after dinner. Now, his reputation is an interesting one, so I don't know how the fall occurred, but either way, he landed on his shoulder. Make of that what you will.
4 weeks he's out of the game now.
Yeah, so the thing is, that's going to, because he's going to miss a couple of LIV golf events, isn't he? I think he said one in Adelaide and one in Singapore. So they're on, obviously, they're basic, but they're on a cut, aren't they? Yeah. A cut of the winning. So that month out is going to cost them a few quid, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and if Tyrrell has a good week, Tyrrell's great fun player to watch. You basically have to have the dump button nearby because he can get quite potty-mouthed at various stages during his ride. He's very entertaining to watch. So the caddy is obviously going to have to be a bit of a psychologist as well. So whoever is stepping up to the breach is going to have to keep him calm if he can, if it goes a bit wrong for Tyrrell.
It does mean, Izzy, that you and your producer, Izzy, will be unencumbered in the evenings because he'll be wanting to watch go back to the hotel and watch the golf so you can have a proper girls' night. You can escape him like you do at Cheltenham.
What, with the hair washing night?
Yeah, they have a hair washing night.
Yeah, they're scheduled.
It's the Wednesday normally. They have a hair washing night where they don't wash their hair, they just ditch Rupert and they dump him on us like Grandad. Grandad has to come out with us instead.
Well, less of the Grandad, Paul.
Got to go for a little bit of pampering, got to have hair washing, a bit of nails and wet. No, just elbowing Rupert out.
Just to get rid of him.
It's, but he has to wash his hair as well, didn't you, Rupert?
Yeah, yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't take as long. Well, that's so they say. Yeah, but we've got our dinner arrangements all sorted.
Okay.
So I think, where's the one you're really looking forward to? Be prepared, this place in Liverpool. What's it called?
Fazenda.
Oh, nice.
It's like a meat buffet.
It's basically, she wants to go so large, just everything she couldn't do as a jockey, she's now taking into Fazenda. There will not be any steak left or whatever meat that is being eaten.
Won't see any jockeys in there the night before, will we?
No, not the all-you-can-eat.
So it's like the Brazilian rodizio, where you just eat as much meat as you can.
Yeah.
And then when you're meted out, you put your flag down, don't you? You have a flag on your table.
Something like that, isn't
Last man standing.
You're like that, Rupert. But you'll prefer the red. Maybe you'll get on Tyrrell Hatton's bag if you can keep off the red.
I just hope I don't fall over so I'm there to do the commentary on Saturday afternoon.
So four races on Thursday and Friday.
Four races Thursday and Friday, and then national. We'll be back for the national at 4 o'clock, which just before the second half starts, because obviously first half's now go on for about 20 minutes longer than they should do. But so,
brilliant. And we'll keep you in touch with the Masters. We're going to start building up to the Masters tomorrow. So, Rupert, Lizzie, lovely to see you.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you Thursday for a chat down the line.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
They've done it! Arsenal are in a Champions League quarterfinal!
Who has the better structure? Arsenal.
It's absolutely beautiful from Bukayo Saka.
Who has the more secure coach? Clearly Arsenal.
We have the squad healthy, with a really good energy, with a lot of confidence individually and collectively.
So you're then only really relying, if you're Bayern, on those brilliant individual attacking players.
Kane! Spurs make the breakthrough! Spurs 1, Arsenal 0.
And this place can smell the Champions League.
Yeah, 2010 was the last time, but the years of waiting are over, and Arsenal going to a quarter-final tonight against Bayern Munich live on TalkSport. Perry's off there straight after this. The team, Perry, I mean, quite a lot of it seems to pick itself. You know, three of the back four does, the goalkeeper does, really the midfield does. A couple of question marks. Left back, I mean, Tomiyasu could play there. Who do you think might play tonight?
I think he'll play Kivior. Because obviously he's normally a centre half, but he's played it out of position at left back. He gives you that little bit more strength because Bayern are quite a physical side as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gives you basically then, if you look at up at Man City, we had really four centre halves playing in the back four because Ben White's been brilliant, we said earlier, at right back, but he's predominantly a centre half. So I think he might play at left back. Then it's Jorginho who gives you that bit of control, you know, playing in that base of the midfield. And Declan Rice can be a Springer Spaniel where he just bounces around everywhere and all of a sudden he gets himself back and gets a little interception. Then it's really the left-hand side. It's really whether it's Trossard, who's got the goal against FC Porto, obviously got his goal at the weekend, or whether he goes with Martinelli or Jesus can play obviously on the left. So, but any... Those players, Martinelli...
The fact they put Jesus up for the interview yesterday, that doesn't always tell us.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that he did that and was talking about Harry Kane and stuff.
Yeah, I think with Jesus, he gives you probably a little bit more than Martinelli defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, because Martinelli does track back, don't get me wrong, but Jesus is more comfortable doing that. As Martinelli gives you, obviously, the pace sort of going the other way. But the players that I mentioned there, coming in on the left side, there's no significant drop-off in quality. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference, obviously, from last season as well. And then Emma Smith-Rowe, obviously played a week ago, got his first start and obviously played really well, one of the main players. So they've got more options in that area. You've got Thomas Partey, obviously he's getting fit, so he'll give you something different at the base of the midfield because his passing is excellent through the lines. Yeah. Again, gives him that physicality. So Arteta's got a lot of options, but it will be, when you see our team sheet out, everybody goes 4-3-3. It's not, it's 4-1-4-1. Because Jorginho is a lot deeper normally than the other midfield players. And then, obviously, you have the four in centre midfield with Rice and Odegaard and Saka on the right, whether it's Martin. And then you have Kai Havertz up front. And then it goes into 4-4-2 out of position where Odegaard and Kai Havertz play virtually next to each other. You know, so, yeah, so it's, as it was said there, I think it was Kevin, was it? Kevin Hatchard just said there. It's very settled at Arsenal at the moment and everybody knows their job.
I mean, and by me going into this, having been 2-0 up against Heidenheim and lost 3-2 and virtually handed Leverkusen the title with that performance. But you look at the quality, certainly up front, apart from Kane, you've got Thomas Muller, you've got Jamal Musiala, you've got Leroy Sané as well. I mean, you know, it's a lot of pace, a lot of trickery.
Gnabry?
Yeah,
on that side as well.
Yeah, he can.
So I think when you look at Bayern, obviously they're inconsistent. I think probably on a high level, they're like Manchester United can pull a result out, can't they? And Manchester United can rely on individual players, like we saw at the weekend with like the Weldy goal from Fernandes and from Kolomoniu. Bayern Munich are capable of that as well.
Sure.
And obviously the last three games, Arsenal's lost 5-1 against Bayern Munich, but this isn't the powerhouse Bayern Munich that Arsenal were playing before. And Arsenal are a lot stronger than those three games. You know what I mean? So, but it's, as you said there, like with Harry Kane up front, whether it's Gnabry, whether it's Musiala, whether it's Sane, they're good in the wide areas individually, like they're 1v1. So they'll try and isolate Kvyat, they're trying to isolate Ben White. So you've got all these little battles that are going on all over the pitch.
I mean, there's no away goals now, but what would you be happy with going to their place with?
5-0.
Well, what would you be delirious
with? Yes, exactly, yeah.
There's a bit of a feeling it could be. I mean, I've got a bit of a feeling for maybe 3-1 tonight, and that would probably be enough. I do quite fancy it tonight.
Well, I'd go for the old-fashioned 1-0 to the Arsenal, 2-0, because defensively, everybody's seen how strong we are. Last five away games, five clean sheets on the trot. And I think the FC Porto game, I was there. I don't think we'd have gone through on that game last season. I think there was more confidence in themselves in that game because it did get 1-0. Obviously, it was 11 on aggregate and it got a little bit nervy, in the stadium, you know, because if FC Porto score right at the end, then they go through. So I think there's more manageability of games in tough season. And even, look, obviously, you want to go to Bayern away with a lead. But even if it was 0-0, then you go to Bayern, I'd still fancy us to keep a clean sheet and, you know, hit Bayern on the counter-attack when you're away from home. But, you've got to try and ram home the advantage because, say, this isn't, like you said about Thomas Muller, and he can score, he can just score goals out of nothing as well and end up in the box. But this Bayern team hasn't got the aura of the previous Bayern teams.
That helps.
Exactly.
Our own Jamie O'Hara is on the Sports Bar tonight with Jason, does a little bit for a betting company, and he was looking ahead to the North London Derby, saying they've got to have a duff game in them sometime. I hope it's that one. But I was saying to you off air, I'm looking at the team now and the way they play and the way they just brushed Brighton aside the other day, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure they have got a duff one in them. The only thing that you sense that could derail them now in this run-in are injuries. If Saliba or Gabriel were about to pick up an injury, or Saka or Odegaard were to pick up an injury, God forbid, not be able to play for the rest of the season, they're the sort of things. I think if you keep this lineup, and you've talked about the depth with players they can bring on, it's sort of difficult to see why it would suddenly all go pear-shaped.
But at the minute, there's going to be games where it's very tight, or you might miss a couple of chances, and again, you might get a bit nervous. And because it's flipped around now, it's gone back into our hands, it's a different sort of pressure.
It's a different sort of pressure.
It's a bit, and it's how you handle, because when you're chasing, you know, you know you've got to keep winning, you can put the Man City and Liverpool under pressure themselves. Now, this is exactly where Arteta would want to be. When it's in your hands, and the goal difference is like outstanding because all the goals scored like earlier on in January. So this is, so you've got to handle that sort of pressure. But I think this group of players are actually enjoying it. I think they're thriving on that pressure.
Yeah.
And I think there's, when you look on the pitch, Obviously, Odegaard's the captain, but then you look around, and I always think the top teams could have 6 or 7 captains. You know, we talked about, you know, players' responsibility and leadership. Look at this Arsenal. Saliba could be a captain. Mm. Gabriel could be captain. Declan Rice could be captain. Obviously, you've got Odegaard, who could be captain.
Yeah.
Zinchenko has got leadership qualities. So you've got 4 or 5 captains on the pitch. And when it does go, when things aren't going well, you've got to manage games, because this level you're playing at now, there's going to be a period in games where you're under pressure for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you've got to ride those little times through where you don't concede.
Sure.
And we saw, you know, the celebration of Gabriel at the end of the Brighton game where he gets his block.
Yeah.
But that's everybody. That's all the players, all the forwards track back, all the forwards, you know, close down. So it's a collective. All the clean sheets that Arsenal have kept is a collective. It's not just sort of the back four. And I don't want to, you know, put the mockers on it, but all the for about David Raya has died down because he looks more comfortable now, more confident, because he's got a better understanding now with Saliba and Gabriel. They trust each other.
He did look a little bit flappy with balls into the box at one point, didn't he? But you're right, you're not noticing that quite as much at the moment.
Yeah, so, I think it was because he came in and everybody said, you know, Ramsdale was hard done by, but no one worried about what Ramsdale come in the team and then Bernardo got bombed out.
Yeah.
You know, it's elite professional
sport. The food chain.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. And he did look nervous. But that nerves, and I think that has settled the back four down as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? When you've got a goalkeeper who's not a little bit jittery, that's... now I've said all that, we're going to get beat for a nil right now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Perry, a pleasure as always.
Pleasure's all mine, mate.
Lovely
always is.
Enjoy the game tonight. I say that through gritted teeth.
You don't
as a
mean
Tottenham
it.
Fan. I don't mean
you,
it.
You want us to get back 4 or 5. And Harry Kane gets a hat-trick.
Exactly.
And goes to...
Eric Dyer gets the fourth winner header.
And goes to celebrate, which would have been the Bayern Munich fans.
Yeah.
And sticks it right up the Gooners.
Sadly, I don't think for 1 minute that's going to happen. But joining us tomorrow, coaching these days with Steven Gerrard at El Etifak, is the former Charlton manager, Dean Holden. Going to have a chat with him. Start building up to the Masters as well, reflecting on all the football. Don't forget, 2 more games in the Champions League. Some belters tomorrow night as well. So all that and more with myself and Andy. And that's all from one. If you can't join us, podcast available at 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.